everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Civ Show podcast, where we suck so you don't have to. I'm your host, Moisos.
Raising Zozo.
And Nystagmus.
When was the last time that we had a guest on the show? Do you know who the last one was? It's been a while.
I don't trust our memory. We couldn't remember the last time PB was on the show.
Yeah. Well, good we point. Had... I'm pretty sure we had Van Bradley on, did we not? Not too...
No.
This year?
We just saw Van Bradley, but we never had him on the show. Didn't we have Sassy on last?
We had Sassy, because I remember when we did our opening for the season, we had a guest on. I think we've had White and Nerdy on the show.
We've had White and Nerdy on the show. He was on for Civ 5.
Yeah.
Maybe he was the last guest. I think he was the last guest.
He may well have been our last guest.
Man, our memories are, like, sharp. You know, like... the sharpest of the sharp. It's not like, you know, 3 months feels like 3 years or something like that, you know.
I blame COVID. We still haven't adjusted. Time has no meaning yet. We're still waiting for that to catch up. Waiting for the other shoe to drop.
I'm gonna blame old age. But even I'm a part of that at this point. So
This is hitting the
I almost have a 3 in my age, the beginning of my age. It's close. Close.
And I
oh my
I
god, think... you're under the age of 30? Oh my god, you
I know. I know. It's sad. I think that the saddest thing is that for our first guest in a while, you know, I think there was just so much salt on the map for both games.
Let's paint a picture first. Let's paint a picture. So we had Peppermint Butler on as a guest and as part of the Civ Give. What do I call this? Milestone? Not milestone. Redemption?
It was redemption.
It was part of the Civ Give
and in true Civ Give fashion or Civ Show fashion, when we announce things, don't take, you know, words are just guidelines because apparently we're supposed to fight PB on a Canada hot map and we kind of just didn't do that.
And, you know, we were supposed to, and it was honestly, it was a lack of communication. I wasn't getting any feedback or anything other than, oh, well, maybe not. And like, okay.
So classic Civ Show.
Maybe instead of hot map can be normal map. It's like, well, no, that would eliminate the point completely of what was going on there. So, yeah, that was the idea, but we didn't really get the consent of everyone. So we switched it up to something else. But yeah, you're right. Total Civ Show.
Back on topic here, we had Peppermint Butler on as a guest, and part of the redemption of Civ Give was a 3-1 against Peppermint Butler. So that is what we did. Yes. Like Zoe said, we were originally going to do a 3-1 where Peppermint Butler played as Canada on a hot map. However, we called a last minute audible, just like I don't know, the Seattle Seahawks should have done when they threw the ball instead of ran the ball for the Super Bowl. But good, here we are again.
Good contemporary comparison.
That's almost a 10-year reference there, Matt.
No, it's not. Dude, that was like 4 years ago.
No, it wasn't.
There's no way that was 10 years ago.
It was
There's
2016.
No way. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding.
When they threw... All right, okay. Anyway, back on topic again. Back on topic. Peppermint Butler was the latest victim of Raging Zozo's play style where Zo wanted to go on a rampage for 2 games in a row. So that is the picture that is painted. Zo, please explain
of course.
What you did. I'll give you the floor.
So we had for our first game that was the 3-1. Now we did do some wheel spinning and there was some chaos chances there. And there was even an opportunity for it to be a domination game changed to a where war was the mode to a culture or science game. But we kept respinning. That was fun, though. I really liked that opening spin. So we ended up with the classic. It was us against Peppermint Butler. And we all had to choose one of the new leader pass civs. OK, Peppermint Butler chose Vicky of the Steam and I chose Theodora. And what did you guys choose? I think Moy went with Wu Tien and Nystagmus went with Caesar. And, you know, unfortunately for Peppermint Butler, we started on the same part of the world and the other two started on the other
that's
part
just
of the world.
I wasn't Caesar for that game. I was Japan.
Oh, you were Japan. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And yeah, I was definitely going for blood. I was, you know, that was the name of the game. Like, we were going to conquer him. So my plan was to attack early because I knew you guys both had civs that needed a little bit of time to rev up. And I just happened to start beside a natural wonder that gave all of my guys plus five combat.
Yeah, Giant's Causeway.
The Giant's Causeway, yeah. So the Spear of Fiona or whatever. And I did indeed right away declare war. And Peppermint Butler was doing well. He was holding out. But I had no intention of delivering a land war. He had an amazing bottleneck. He had this city Liverpool, and there was only one entry point that I could have attacked him from. And he had it well defended. Unfortunately, that was all just a ruse. My actual intention was to rush to shipbuilding and the Drummond. And, you know, Theodora, one of the reasons I love her is that from the ancient era forward, she's a very good civ. Right away, I built my holy site, got a religion. It was a priority of mine. And I took Crusade. Of course I did. Took Crusade because I was Byzantium. So PB was very confident before the end came that he could hold me off indefinitely. And I believe he used the term that he would push back and, you know, like, I think he thought he could defeat me. Well, unfortunately, PB forgot that Byzantium isn't just a religious civ. It's got a boat. It's got a fantastic boat. It has the Drummond. And, you know, the Drummond, for those of you maybe not familiar with it, it's a range 2 boat that they get with shipbuilding. So range 2 early game for a boat is huge. It replaces the Quadream, right, which is only range 1. So suddenly I settled this one city that had this perfect little nexus of seaway. And I flood, like, I had a huge navy of like 8 ships that I just flood in. And he had an oh crap moment where it was realized, OK, so Zoe actually seems to know what he's doing. I even got White Nerdy commented that he had never seen Drummond's use so effectively. So I overcame him. And then the mistake that Peppermint Butler made, which ultimately ended the game, which I guess was good for him because it put him out of his misery, he suzerained my city state, and which was like sandwiched right between us. And that was, I was like, all right, great, thank you. Because what I have is, if I kill one of your units, I'm Byzantium, I spread my faith. So I killed one archer, and there was a burst of the Traveler. It spread to all of the city states. It spread to my cities, and it spread to Liverpool. And because there was no religion to challenge it, because he didn't go for a religion, my religion was going up. And I think within like 4 or 5 turns, I flipped one of his other seas. I didn't even see it because I couldn't see the rest of his map. And that was it. It was a religious victory. We should have turned that off, by the way, in hindsight. Yeah,
we definitely should have.
We should have turned it off. But like I was like, all right, I win. Like, I knew I won once. All I need to do is kill a couple units. And then, yeah, the flip came. Now, I had hoped that he was also doing his own religion. No, he wasn't. He wasn't happy about that. He felt that I was unit spamming him. Well, it was a 3v1. And yeah, I kind of was like, I wasn't going for science or culture. I wanted my religion. I wanted my like stage 1 government or stage 2 government. And I wanted Drummonds. Like, and that's what I did. And I feel I executed a successful sprint strategy there. So, yeah, that game ended and we won. So we started a second game, and the second game was just a free for all. We're going to do a free for all. And I believe my memory of it was that it was a free for all and we were going for war. Like, we were outright hostilities, right? Like, that's what I.
Yeah, but I do want to include that it was we did a medieval start.
Medieval start. Yeah. In hindsight, I think we probably should have done Renaissance, because now I'm going to tell you the second story. and why Renaissance. Yep. I'll tell at the end why Renaissance, I think, would have made a bigger, made a better fun for our guest. So all random with the new leaders pass civs. And naturally, once again, Peppermint Butler started right beside me. And like we were within, I would imagine within 15 hexes of each other's capitals from where we ended up going. Now, I started in a horrible spot. I was back to the sea. I had tundra below me. I had desert. I had like only two places that I could actually build cities. And neither one of them was particularly amazing. My start was so bad that I had two marsh squares and I decided to go Lady of the Reeds because everything else was just so garbage. Yeah. So I was the Ottomans, and it turned out that Peppermint Butler was Korea under Sung Jong. And right away, as I went out to explore the world, it turns out that PB had built a city like within five hexes of my capital. And he'd already had it nicely developed. He had like coffee and city walls, like very, very rapidly. I had, of course, just purchased a swordman from a barbarian clan. And, you know, we started with catapults. So we had the technology for catapults. Well, guess what? It only took me five turns to build a catapult. And eventually that went down to two or three turns. So I sent an offer that I thought he would find most fair. I wanted coffee. And I wanted five gold a turn, and we would have sustained peace. Because it was like, I couldn't go anywhere.
Did you ask for a city?
No, that was not until the very end when the game was over.
Okay.
So I made that offer, and it was under the guy, like there's nowhere for me to go, so it has to be you're giving me tribute. He said no, so I declared war. He got a wall up right away. I'm the Ottomans, though. So the catapults I had, and he was killing my catapults, but I had a replacement catapult each time because it would take too long for him to kill him. So my catapults in three turns were able to lower the city walls to nothing. And I was able to take that city relatively unscathed. And then I moved on to his capital, which was not too far away. And I was able to take that out. Now, the rest of his cities, he didn't go for units. He went for science. He was building libraries in all of his cities, and I guess it served him. It got him to machinery quickly, and he was able to get his special unit and crossbowmen. And it gave me a run for my money, to be sure. But by then, the damage had been done. I'd already secured my empire. I was pumping out units and then starting to build stuff. So unfortunately, back to back, he got crushed. I did offer him peace at one point, but yes, it was like he had only a couple cities left. I was like, all right, give me a city in this and we'll have peace. Obviously, I didn't accept him to do that. And I may have, you know, I may have sensed that he was getting upset, and rightly so. I, though, would argue don't build libraries when you're beside the Ottomans. Like, you need right away an aggressive Zozo's right beside you. You need to play defense, fight a defensive war. I didn't let him do that. So unfortunately, by the end, he was defeated twice by me. And I feel his pain. I do feel his pain starting beside me twice and being defeated twice. I think this was his first game of Civ in a while. And over 2 months. And I'm off school right now. So like I've been enjoying my time off. I've been playing some Civ. So, you know, maybe I'm a well-oiled machine. Maybe we're a little bit better now. Maybe we're equals.
I'm not any better. I'm going to be real with you. I'm probably like, you know, significantly worse.
But either way, the end of it is I felt bad at the end that, you know, we had this guest on and I played the game. I did play the game. I didn't fudge anything. And I did win, but, you know, we always want people to have fun. Let me just end with. I think that if we'd started in the Renaissance instead of the medieval, the advantage would have been that in that situation, we could have negotiated and said, listen, we're really close together. We have one choice right now. We can either be allies or we can be enemies. And right then and there, we could have built a cultural alliance so that we wouldn't be imposing our culture on each other's cities, and then we could have said, okay, let's join together and we'll go and attack Moya Nystagmus. So I think if in the future we should give that a shot, maybe try in the Renaissance just for that situation when two players start side by side, give them the option. It's like, okay, guys, you can either be allies for life, all right, or you can go to war. That's up to you. But that's the only way that I think that could have ended fun for him, because you guys had a start that was very, very different from ours, right? So go on, Nystagmus.
Oh, no, I was just going to say.
Sorry, PB.
That my new rule is just going to be, if you declare war on someone immediately when the game starts, I'm just going to declare war on you. Just to even it out a little bit.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. You were on the other side of the world, but yeah, that's good.
I was like right beside his cities, man.
Oh,
I
could were have, like, you? Least,
yeah.
Okay. I didn't get to see the map. My part of the world was very small.
You didn't follow the rules of scouting. You literally didn't know anything. You didn't know where me or Moy were.
No, I got caught up in a war very quickly.
Yeah, well, you know, multitasking is not your best thing, right? You know, so
what's there to scout? What's there to scout?
Your first enemy.
Yeah, exactly. I did. I took his cities out.
And the only reason why I didn't send units down was because, like, Boy and I were basically staring across this bottleneck. So we had like three encampments within like a four tiles
of each other.
That's awesome.
And so I knew he was going to break through because I didn't have any niter. And so he was going to eventually, as soon I was trying to build trebuchets like a noob. And then I saw a bombard. I'm like, yeah, this is stupid. I'm not going to hold this. But yeah, I think I held out pretty good for the bottleneck. Right. So it's pretty good encampment placement on my part, I think. And then basically he had a samurai. So we started at the medieval era. So obviously, you know, Moy in that game was Japan and I was Julius Caesar. So, yeah, my legions did a whole lot of great work going up against barbarian pikemen as soon as the game started, which is like my one power, right? When I was trying to clear in barb camps, and then Preslav killed one of them in front of my face, in front of one of my legions. I was so angry.
Nice.
And then after I killed the unit, too, and then he just moved in, right? Because I killed it with an archer, and my legion was like one tile away. And then the second barb camp I was trying to clear started spawning pikemen, which... great. I can't kill those with my legions, or at the very least, I need a lot of them. So that couldn't happen. So like the one power I had as Julius Caesar, I couldn't even use. And actually, I used it one time, and that's when I got hurt, because you can only do it if you raid the barb. So when you're doing with barbarians and clans, it actually makes Julius Caesar weaker in one sense, because I did it. And then all the barb camp did was spawn two pikemen beside the encampment and kicked me out of the encampment. And then they killed my legion.
Wow.
Right. So
that's terrible.
Even though barb clans lets you kind of farm, I guess you can farm the barb clan, but like that's if they don't keep on, you know, producing units and then killing your military units in order to balance that out. Right. So like getting like 75 gold and I lost the legion, that was not worth it.
So, net gain. Nope.
But yeah, it was a little bit fun on our side too. I felt bad for Moy. He's had the worst spot in the entire game, I think. But
no, you know what though? Like I was Japan, like isolation Japan. So I'm like, you know what? I just need domestic traders. Like I don't really care too much. And like I feel like that's what balances this version of Japan, is that like he's so good. Takagawa is so good. And so how do you make him balanced on a map that everyone has the same spawn? Well, you give him a choke and you give him like just you give him less land, because if I have the same amount of cities as you guys, I'm going to win as Japan just naturally. So I only had like three cities. And that's only because Nystagmus let me have the third city. Thank you, Nystagmus.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to be mean in this game. There's already enough of that going on, so I didn't want to make too upset.
No, but it made it so cool. Like, it made it so fun. Like you said, we had three encampments within four tiles of each other. And the reason why it took so long in the first place, is I had a trebuchet really, really early. But one of the encampments was behind a freaking hill. And so I couldn't shoot. And then in order for me to get my trebuchet across to the other side on the encampment to start shooting, I had to go into neutral territory where like it was really exposed to encampment shots, to your crossbowmen.
Yeah,
and I didn't know if I could make it in time without dying.
I would have for sure killed it. I would have like sacrificed
so I'm like,
a knight.
I can't.
I would have sacrificed a knight.
I
love it.
I couldn't move. So I'm like, shoot, like, what do I do? So I waited for bombards. Then I upgraded it. Then I moved it over. And then I already had a general, so I can move and shoot at the same time with my siege. And then eventually I was able to break through. But then the game ended at that point. But then when I moved in with my samurai, I see like four knights surrounding. And I'm like, oh, God, I can't do anything. What am I going to do?
I was preparing because when I moved any closer, you were taking shots at them. And so there was no point, right? So I had all my knights and my archers, my crossbowmen, like three tiles behind that encampment. And then you would like pile in, but you can only move one unit at a time. And I would just kill them as they came through the bottleneck. Yeah. Right.
So eventually I would have had to, like, your right side, I would have had to at least surround that side. And then I would have had to build pike and shots eventually to get through, because you had so many mounted units. And so I'm like, okay, the only way I can really counteract this is if I have units that are good against.
Yeah. My thought process, and maybe I was wrong, is because I knew you had samurais, right? And they're really strong, but they're only strong in the sense that it's hard for me to kill them, but it's also harder for them to kill me if I'm fortified as a mounted unit, right? So I was just going to play defensively anyways and just shoot at you with the crossbow. And that was my plan. So
yeah, it was really hard for me to get into your land, but it was a fun war. It was one of the more fun ones I've had because I felt like it was very balanced. Like, we both were at a standstill, but I think I knew eventually I can break through. It's just going to take a while. So we both had our shots at each other. And it was, I had two apostles. You kept shooting at one samurai over and over and over again. And you're doing decent damage, but I had two apostles that both had the medic promotion.
Oh, I was wondering what was going on. I was wondering why they were healing. I was wondering why they were healing so fast, right? I was like,
wow. And you just had them on either side. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I just had them fortified. I had two medics because I'm like, oh, I can't have somebody die, but I need somebody to tank.
That's such a stalemate.
Well, wow. I saw that I was doing like 15 damage, right? I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, he'll only get like 10 health back, right? So he'll eventually get damage and then I can move on to like the next. But then every single time I kept taking shots, I'm like, why is he at full health again? So I didn't know what was going on.
Oh, the game genie, man.
I just assumed I made a wrong assumption like I normally do. Like, I think a thing works a certain way and then it doesn't work that way at all. And yeah, it's an astagmus move. Like, thinking how the game works and that's not how the game works at all. That's me. Yeah, that's classic me. So that's all I assumed. I'm like, oh, maybe they heal better or something.
Just civ math. And like trying to play to my advantage. Because I have recruited some apostles. So I'm like, okay, if I can't take you over domination, maybe I can at least like convert your cities. And then I looked at the promotions and I saw that there was medic. And I was like, oh, cool. So then I got a couple of them.
I think we stumbled across an interesting game type that I'd like to explore more in the future. And it's the idea of the Blitz game that, like I mentioned last night, when I play games like Magic the Gathering, multiplayer games of Magic the Gathering can take a long time. But we have a game type, King of the Hill, that's all about the first defeat and that's it, the game ends. I could see a fun game type coming where it's like we start in the Renaissance and it's the first capital taken, that player wins the game and we start another one and try and see, is there a way for us to finish a game like that, like say in an hour and a half, like just, or see how long on average it takes. And we could have nights where we're like, yeah, we're going to play the King of the Hill Civ and it's the Blitz game. And we know that this is the nature of it, and that the side benefit of that, and because I think we experienced this, and that it's something that I reflected on, and I did feel bad later that, you know, somebody at the table didn't have fun, that we take for granted on the Civ show, that as casual multiplayer gamers, we have developed a thick skin for defeat. Because I remember when we started, it sucked. It still sucks losing, but like you really hated it when you were being defeated, and it could make the game no fun anymore, right? And we've all had those moments, but it's something that I feel that as hosts we've had to deal with it, and we've become accustomed to the conflict, and that's part of the fun of the game is that you'll get defeated. So having like a Blitz game, I think just it would help, like, overcome that feeling that, like, you know, this is part of the game. It is fun. Get defeated and, you know, roll with it. And now we're going to start the next game. So I think that'd be one of the side benefits. So if you guys are up for it, I wouldn't mind in the future trying more Blitz games where, like, let's see how many wins. And that's how it's a win for the night. It's like, how many wins did you get?
We can do total wins. We can do like hour long games, right? Yeah. Like, okay, yeah. This game's going to last an hour.
It could be exactly most cities or most however we want to do it. But yeah, start later era. And I think that, yeah, medieval worked with the Renaissance. The advantage you have, I guess, and this would not be more of the war game, is that you could make an alliance right away. Maybe medieval is the way to go, just because we're here to win quickly. It's a fast win. Go. So yeah, that I think that at least we uncovered that possibility, and I hope you guys are up to explore it in the future.
I am. I really am. And I think we can also maybe explore it in the upcoming community month.
I know. What's that? What's going on?
Wow. So this community month is happening in May, and we're going to be hosting a month long community tournament. So we're going to have people from the community. You are able to sign up if you are subscribed to our Twitch or if you are a Patreon to our channel. The reason why we're doing this is because we are trying to raise funds for an in-person CivGive 2023. So we need to have some base funds in order to secure some accommodations for our guests that we want to invite. And so we need to raise some money. So this is kind of a way for us to raise money, as well as trying to give back to the community and set up a tournament for you guys to have fun with Civilization. I think we're going to try to make some bite-sized games to get as many people in and out as possible, so that people can, if you are subscribed, you will almost be guaranteed to play at least one game. And we're, like I said, we're going to host a little tournament. So at the end, there's going to be a finals, and we're going to invite all the people that have made it to the finals and host a tournament for those people. Registration will open on Friday, April 21st. It'll be on our website at thecivshow.com. And yeah, just make sure you are subscribed or a patron.
Just letting everyone know what they're playing for as well.
Kind of interesting. What are they playing for in a second?
Best prize ever.
If you win any of the games before the, you know, the Circle of Champions game at the end of the month, you get the ability to give me a secret objective later on when the Civ show resumes playing in June. So you can like redeem it, and you have to tell me what to do. I don't tell anybody what it is. We'll find out a way to like give it to the community so that, you know, you guys don't know what it is. And then I have a secret objective. So that's one thing you can play for. You can tell me to do just a random secret objective, that's something I have to do, and see if I can do it. Most likely I won't, but yeah, I'll try. I'll give it a good old try. And then the winners of the community tournament Circle of Champions, I will wear a crown for the entire month of June that has your name on it. So that's what you're playing for.
Wow.
Wow, that's an amazing prize. Like, that's... Whew. The sentimental value.
I don't want to be on a crown on Nystagmus's head.
Yeah, who would?
I know who wouldn't.
And you know, like, boy, maybe you and me might think about throwing a prize in there for something similar, for a secret objective. I think that's a fun sort of idea. So
I kind of have like an idea for a game mode that would be fun, where it's like secret objectives where you have a target and a protector. So like you have to protect this person, but you have to kill this person at the same time. And everyone has a different protector and a different target. And it'd be kind of fun.
I actually think that should sort of be how we go about it. Like we'll have like these multiple sessions, or even like three of the sessions can be, we each come up with the scenario, you know, for today's game. Okay. You know, so for mine, it would be, we're going to do Blitz. We're going to have three 1 hour games and blah 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 blah, go. Nystagmus's might be whatever, and a scenario or just a free for all, and then yours can be whatever it is you want. That could be fun. See that being cool.
Yeah, stay tuned for all of May. We're gonna host as many community games as we can, so we want to get you guys involved. We may cast them, we may play in them. We'll see how the dice falls, I guess, is the best expression. And yeah, we're really looking forward to that. So please sign up on our website, thecivshow.com. Subscribe to us on Twitch and/or become a patron on Patreon.
Woo!
And I think that's all we have for today, folks.
Thanks
for tuning in. We will see you on Sunday, where I will not be here, but Nystagmus and Zoe will be hosting a very fantastic game for you guys.
Oh, we will. Probably not going to be Master of Orion. Why would you say that?
Why would you say that?
I don't know.
See you guys later.
Later. Good night, everyone. Bye.